We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
We started in Galatians chapter 1, and I had planned on making it into chapter 2, possibly 3, and we made it to verse 4. So progress was slow, but last Wednesday at the end of the service, I looked at the time, and I was just wanted to make sure I was keeping track of the time, because I figured, kids are going to be coming up soon if service is over. I figured I still had 15 or 20 minutes, and I looked, and it was 8 o'clock, and I thought to myself, where did the time go? So tonight, hopefully, I'll be able to keep track of the time here, and the Lord's going to do something good here tonight through the study and sharing of His Word. So really, what we're doing here tonight is we're going to study here in Galatians chapter 1 and see what the Lord brings out. And I don't have notes. I just have the Word here, and just pray that the Lord leads me and pulls out of His Word what He wants me to share tonight. So we preached down to verse 3 last week, and we left off in verse 4, and I was just about to get into verse 4, but didn't really get to it. So are you in Galatians chapter 1 yet? All right. So in Galatians chapter 1, in the New King James Version, it says, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father." And I was mentioning that, sometimes people, when they read a scripture like that, they take it to mean like, well, if the Lord could just deliver us from this earth, if the Lord, He's just going to deliver us from this planet one day. And it's been not here and not everywhere, but in some churches and in some Christian mindsets, the thought that, well, we're in this evil world, everything's bad around us, everything's just going to be bad, and then one day, God will take us up, He'll pluck us as a rose for His garden, we'll become another angel in His choir, and a whole bunch of religious garbage. Why is that religious garbage? Well, because anyone can look at the Old Testament, which, mind you, Hebrews tells us we're in a better covenant based on better promises. But anyone can look at the Old Testament and see that as long as those people served God the way He had instructed them to, they weren't just holding on till glory, were they? You read about the Old Testament, men and women of God, like we studied the previous 20 weeks, and you see that those guys did impossible things through faith. You see that those guys had built the kingdom of God. You see that those men and women had built kingdoms and were doing really well here on planet Earth. And so how is it that we come into the New Testament and now all of a sudden all of our power has been taken away from us and we're meant to just get saved, believe in Jesus, and then just try and hold on as long as we possibly can because one day the Lord's going to split the sky, He's going to come back for His church, but if not, we'll die and we'll go be with Jesus. But until then, we're just kind of holding out. And that's a religious mentality that's in a lot of churches, but not here. But you read a verse like this and you kind of wonder, well, what's He really talking about then? Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age? Well, someone maybe, if you're really into, conspiracy and what so forth, maybe He's talking about the Illuminati here, right? And the evil world powers that exist. Well, there are those evil world powers out there. I do believe that. Why? It's not a secret. Satan is the god of this world, the little G-O-D, little G, little god of this world. He's been put in charge because Adam sold us out when he sinned in the garden. But So we're living in this world that is evil, that is ruled by Satan, but we don't have to be part of it. And that's what this scripture is really talking about. Actually, it came to my mind that he writes a similar scripture, a similar verse in one of his other introductions in the book of Colossians, I believe. Go with me to Colossians real quick. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In the first chapter, in the 13th verse, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed, or if you have the King James Version, it might say translated us, or if you have the Amplified, it might say transferred us, but you get the picture. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, what tense is that? Past tense, right? He's already done it. So we're not waiting for the kingdom of God to come. We don't even have to wait to go to heaven to be a part of God's kingdom. If you've been born again, then, as John's gospel says, we've been given the privilege to become children of God. We're citizens of the kingdom. That's even scriptural in the New Testament writings from what Paul wrote, is that we're citizens of heaven. We're aliens in a foreign land. We're sojourning, as Peter wrote it. We're just sojourning here on earth. We're just here, but our real kingdom is now, as Christians, though the world is all around us, we're part of the systems of this earth, but really, our citizenship, our kingdom, is now the kingdom of light, is now the kingdom of heaven. So we're not part of this evil world age. And actually, let's go back to Galatians chapter 1, and if you got a phone, you can look it up, or maybe you have that version already, but in the Amplified, the classic edition, it even kind of illustrates this a little more clearly in this fourth verse. It says, "Who gave, yielded himself up to atone for our sins and to save and sanctify us in order to rescue and deliver us from this present wicked age and world order in accordance with the will and purpose and plan of our God and Father." So we see here that the way that he delivered us was by atoning for our sins. How did he do that? When he went to Calvary's cross and he shed his blood for us as the perfect sacrifice, right? Now, when he did that, it wasn't so that we could all leave the planet, like some cult leaders trying to get people to believe and drink the Kool-Aid. Dear Lord. Maybe if you're my age or younger and you don't know what I'm talking about, you gotta look at history, because there's been some crazy cult leaders out there. But no, we're not going to leave this planet. That's not the goal. In fact, if you really study it out, you know, we always think of going to heaven as going up, but really, the New Jerusalem is coming down. You can study that out. But, you know, so really, whether we're on this earth, whether we're up in the sky, or no matter where we are, it doesn't really matter, because we're already citizens of the kingdom. The only difference is, at that point, we won't have this soulish realm and this fleshly realm, our body and our mind and our will and our way of thinking to deal with. You see, right now, if we were perfectly in tune with our spirit man, because we're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body, and if we were perfectly in tune with our spirit, which is the what becomes born again, right? You can look at that in John chapter 3, is where it's explained that we're not born again out of the flesh, out of our mother's womb, but we're born again and we become a new creation. We become a new spiritual being. And that spirit is in tune with the Lord. That's where we hear God. So, you know, anyone that needs to hear an audible voice to hear God, well, that's not really the way it's meant to be. Is we're led by the inward witness, the spirit man, the inner man. Those are all terms for the same thing, our human spirit. And so that's what becomes made alive to God when we become born again, right? And so when we go to heaven, basically, the main difference is we don't have the desires of our carnal nature to deal with anymore. So when you eliminate that, then you eliminate the desire for sin, which eliminates a whole lot of problems, and it eliminates our natural and earthly reasoning and earthly thinking. So really, right now, if we could tune out the voice of our flesh and tune out the voice of our soul, we're basically, you know, we're still here on earth in this evil world, but basically that's how we're going to be in heaven, is we're going to be that in tune with God. And so that's really one of our objectives as New Testament Christians, is to become more and more in tune with our spirit man. And that's what separates people from being baby Christians and Christians that are mature, is that they've learned to develop their inner man. They've learned to listen to and be led by the Holy Spirit as our spirit is led by the Holy Spirit. Right? So how do we do that? Well, by crucifying the flesh daily. And, you know, perhaps a better word there than flesh, because we're not talking about actually crucifying our body physically, but we're talking about the sense realm. Because whether it's our physical body, or whether it's our emotions, whether it's our mind, it's our intellect, all of that is processing our senses. And so really, when, you know, that's just the one translation of it, is that it's the flesh, but really it's the senses that we're dealing with. Our body tells us, I'm hungry. Our body tells us, I want food. Our body tells us, I want sex. Our body tells us, I'm addicted to drugs and I need that drug. That's what our body tells us. That's what you're contending with. And then you get into the emotional realm. And so your emotions get involved with your body. And really, when you take out the spirit man out of our being, so at that point you're a heathen, a non-born-again believer, well, then you have no reason not to indulge in all of those things. But when you become born again, that's what gives us our connection to God. And once you have that connection with God, what is God? God is love. And so that becomes the principle that we live by. What did Jesus say that was the greatest commandment? It's love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you have the nature of God as a born-again believer, and love is God's nature, well then love won't treat yourself or your fellow man in a sinful way. You're not going to be going out and thinking about how you can commit adultery or how you can murder or how you can do any of that. So that's why we need to learn to tune out the voice of the flesh, the voice of our soul, and tune into the voice of the Spirit. Amen? And that's how we become mature. But, you know, if all you're doing... Because you might wonder, well, how do you do that? Well, it's the same way that you grow the other two areas. You feed it. You know, if I feed this body, it'll do exactly what I feed it. If I feed it junk and lots of junk, it's going to start to look junky. Right? Yeah, chunky too. Good call. Junky and chunky. But if I feed it good stuff, it's going to reflect that, right? I mean, that's not even spiritual. Wasn't it like Aristotle or something that wrote, let food be your medicine? You know, I mean, that's like thousands of years old. You know, if you take just good care of your body by feeding it, it reflects that. Now, it's the same thing with our soul. What do you feed your soul? What do you feed your mind all week long? For the average Christian, that's why they're not really living any different than the average heathen out there. Because they're filling their mind with the same stuff. They're not really living different. They're watching the same TV programs. They're having the same conversations, talking about the same garbage, reading the same news, filling their mind with the same stuff. You know, I mean, you look, if you look up the way that Smith Wigglesworth lived, I like the testimony of Lester Sumrall. He goes to visit Smith Wigglesworth, and he's coming to his house. He's a young man. He's like in his 20s, and he goes to Smith Wigglesworth, who's now an older senior minister, and he comes to his house by invitation, and he has a newspaper in his arm, and Smith Wigglesworth had invited him to come over and basically pray with him and study the scriptures with him. And when he gets there for the first time, they didn't even know each other, and he says, and he has this newspaper under his arm, and he says, "Leave the lies outside." And he literally wouldn't let him enter his house with a newspaper, you know? So, you know, for some people, they're obsessed with the news. Some people, it's sports. Some people, it's television. Some people, it's Hollywood drama. Some people, it's just fiction novels. But, you know, and whatever. If you want to, like, you know, read a little bit of that, because whatever, you get excited about that kind of stuff, fine. But if you're feeding yourself more of that than you're feeding the spirit man, the Word of God, how do you expect your spirit man to grow? You're always going to have a louder mind, soul realm. If we don't put our body into subjection, you're always going to hear your body louder than your spirit. And this is where, as New Testament Christians, maybe we're missing it, is where we've not learn to hear our spirit because everything else is so much louder. And our society has made it so easy to gratify those voices, right? Think about it. If you and me wanted to right now, we could drive not even like 3 minutes and be eating all the fast food we want, from tacos, glorious tacos at Taco Bell, McChickens, McDoubles, Big Macs, pizza, praise God. You know, our society has made it so easy for us to gratify the flesh. You can go anywhere. You know, I mean, McDonald's is everywhere. What is it, over a billion served, or now is it a trillion? Who knows? But, you know, it's so easy. And then the soul, it's so easy. Look at the movie industry. I mean, you can't think that all those billions of dollars are just made off of heathens. You know? I mean, there's a... not gonna, I probably shouldn't say this, but I mean, there's a church in the area that... You know, I find it amusing when people, ministers especially, are preaching sermons off of movies. And horror movies at that. You know? But I mean, that's, you know, I mean, as New Testament believers, I shouldn't have to try to relate to you through Hollywood filth. The filthy men and women behind those movies that are perverting our society. And now I'm trying to, you know, relate the gospel to you through that junk. I mean, come on. But perhaps the reason that, you know, you read through the book of Acts and you read how Paul, he was literally restrained by the Spirit from going to preach in certain places. How did he get to that point? I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest, I've never been really restrained from going to preach anywhere. Why is that? Because I'm not as tuned in like Paul was. I'll admit it right now. But I'd like to get there. I mean, could you imagine, like, you know, you're just, normally, for most Christians today, you're just doing great if you're going to preach anywhere, right? Now, Paul was literally going to preach in these places, and it says that the Spirit restrained him from being able to go and preach there. Now, God doesn't literally stop you physically from doing anything. We have free will. Paul could have decided to go anyway. So what is he talking about there? He's talking about that the Spirit didn't want him to go there. Well, how would he know that? Well, he heard it through the voice of the Spirit speaking to his spirit man. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit man through that inward witness, through that unction, through that leading, through that guiding. No, you shouldn't go there. Right? So if we can't tune in to the voice of God because our body and because our soul is so loud, then we're never really going to succeed. And we're never going to really live like the children of the kingdom that this passage is talking about. You see, God has transferred us, translated us, conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. We're citizens of heaven. Right? Just like you're a citizen of this country, of the United States, more than likely, you know, maybe you're a citizen somewhere else. I am. I'm dual citizen. Isn't that cool? Well, you know, so as long as I'm here, I can abide by the rights and the rules and the laws and the privileges of being a United States citizen, right? But as soon as I go out there into another country, I'm no longer treated under the same principles, under the same laws, the same protection. Right? If you don't believe me, go to Saudi Arabia and start preaching the gospel on the streets all day long. You'll find out real quick. Well, so if we're citizens of the kingdom, but we're going out and living like the rest of the heathen in this world, then we're not going to really live under the privileges and the benefits of the citizens of the kingdom, right? So we got to stay in our kingdom. We got to stay tapped in. We got to stay dialed in to the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? And so he's not talking about verse 4 here. He's not talking about us leaving this earthly kingdom. What he's talking about, us being part of a heavenly kingdom, even here on earth, that we've been conveyed and translated into the kingdom of the Son of God, into Jesus' kingdom. And so we can live like that here on earth. Everything that's promised to you in heaven, you can have that here. You know, we always talk about, how, as Christians, like, well, when we get to heaven, there won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more crying, there won't be any more, you know, pain, there won't be any more sickness, there won't be any more poverty. The streets will be paved with gold. You know, we'll have all. Did you know that you can have all of that here before you even get there? There it's guaranteed. Here it's not. Here it's up to us. There we just, you know, we get to partake. But here you don't have to wait to get that. Jesus already said that our needs are supplied according to His riches and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? Philippians 4:19. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. Right? We can already walk in divine health. We can already walk in divine provision. We don't have to have anxiety here. In fact, we're commanded not to be anxious, right? We learned that last week in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7. So all of those things that are promised to us in heaven, why wait? Why wait? We can have them now. Now, I want you to hear that, because sometimes, you know, I think people hear something like that and they think that I'm just preaching. You know, they think that I'm just trying to come up with something nice to say, or something cool, or something inspiring, or some new revelation that I'm just trying to, you know, get more people to come to church or something. It's literally, that's the way we can live as God's children here on earth. You know, and the only reason I know that people don't take me seriously is because, you know, we talk about this here like this. We can live as the children of the King, but then we go out there Monday through Saturday, and we talk like we're part of this world, and we live like we're part of this world, and we expect to receive the things that this world does. We don't treat our situations really any different than worldly people do. Now, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about Christians as a whole. But if we can learn to live like the children of heaven that we really are, like the citizens of heaven, man, that'll give them heathens a reason to get born again. Well, how do I get signed up in that? Man, that guy, he hasn't been sick. That lady, she's prospering. Praise God. They don't have that tackle box full of medications toting it around. Or if you want that, you can have that too. Because God will let you. You know, that's one of the things that I'm seeing more and more. God will let you have whatever you want. You want sickness? You can have all the sickness you want, and the world is happy to give it to you. Even in their treating your sickness, they're making you more sick. Just read the back of your pills. All right, I suppose we should make it out of verse 4 tonight. Like I said, progress has been slow here in Galatians 1. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. So there is the greeting of Galatians, verses 1 through 5. It's the greeting. All right, now look at verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, I'm with you, Paul. I wonder the same thing. How is this even possible? How is it possible that people come into the kingdom and they taste of God's goodness? They start getting their life on track. They hear that God is good and that He wants to bless them and that He has plans to prosper them, to give them a hope and a future, that He wants to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory, that He has healed us by His stripes, that He's done all of these things and provided this great, abundant life for us. And then what do people do? They leave. You know, I get fired all the time. Every week or every couple of weeks, people come in here. They check us out. They might get excited for a little while. They come. They join up. And then what do? A few weeks later, fired. They fire me. That guy never shuts up about taking action on the Word. He never shuts up about me living a clean, godly, moral life. He never shuts up about prospering and living blessed. He never shuts up about being healthy. I'm going to go find a preacher that'll tell me, you know, it's okay to just wallow in the mire of the world. It's okay to just be sick. It's okay to just be broke. It's okay to just struggle. And one day all our problems will go away when God plucks us and adds us to His rose garden, right? You know, I get fired for that kind of stuff all the time. I marvel. I'm with you, Paul. I marvel too that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ. And where did they turn to? They turned to a different gospel, a different message, a message that, you know, in this specific case, He's really dealing with the Judaizers, the ones who were telling them that they needed to live under the, still abide under the Old Testament law, as well as, you know, be circumcised and all of those things. That's really what He's dealing with here specifically. But really, in our culture, in our day and age, this could be any other different gospel as well. Because there's a bunch of different gospels out there. You know, you can go to church in the area, and you'll find that there is a bunch of different gospels. And that's why you got to do like Jesus said, and be careful how you hear, and be careful who you hear. Because you'll listen to me talking tonight about prosperity, about blessing, about health, about how we can train our human spirit, about how we can be diligent, about all these things that we talk about here on a regular basis. And then you can go on tonight, and you can turn on YouTube, you can turn on the television, Christian TV, if that's still a thing. You can turn on whatever televangelist is on, and you can hear a whole bunch of other stuff. And that's why, you know, if you're listening to this person and that person and you're getting all these different ideas, you're going to end up just being confused, and you're not going to make traction anywhere. You know, if you don't like me, and you don't like, I shouldn't say me, but if you don't like the gospel that we're preaching here, just go somewhere different. Find somewhere where, you know, where you actually like what you're hearing. You know, I mean, I understand. This isn't everyone's cup of tea. Success. Not everyone wants to succeed.
Right.
Some people just want to be content at being unsuccessful. I'm not. And if you're going to stay here with me, I'm not going to let you be either. And how do you know when you're successful? When you died and went to be with Jesus. Until then, there's more success to be had.
Right?
Dear Lord, 755. I don't know how long we can do this thing. We got a bunch of new kids church workers, and I saw December's schedule for kids church, and it looks like most of them are only scheduled for like two times at the most. So that's looking good. So come on, kids church workers, we need some more of you, and then I can extend our services once again. But so people, it's like the sower of the seed, like Jesus gave that illustration. The sower goes out and he sows. He sows, he sows. And one out of four seeds only prospered. One out of four seeds only came into being a fruitful plant. The rest, three out of four, one was picked off, by the birds, the other fell on stony ground, the other fell on the ground that was too hard and it could only grow shallow roots, right? And so that's, I understand that that's what we're dealing with. When you preach the real gospel, Jesus was offensive. The gospel is offensive. Right? And so when you're sharing that, some people, they're going to get offended by it. And I understand that. And so I'm just going to keep preaching it. And I love it because the people that stay, they're awesome.
Right.
You guys are awesome.
Right.
The people that stick around, that come here on a Wednesday night, you're great. I shouldn't even be sharing this message to you. I should, I don't know. How do you share it to the ones that aren't here on a Wednesday night? Anyway, we got to shut her down. Otherwise, I'm just getting stirred up. Got through three verses tonight. Praise God. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you lead us and guide us into your truth. I thank you that you speak to us. And that as we put the flesh under, the voice of the flesh, the voice of the carnal realm of the senses, and as we listen to your spirit through our spirit, as we feed our spirit the word of God, as we starve the flesh and starve the carnal nature, not giving it what it needs, but giving our spirit man what it needs. Just as you said, Jesus, while you were here on earth, that your bread is to do the will of your Father. I thank you that by doing your will, we're sustained. And we have all that we need in doing your will. If we can just do that, Lord, I thank you that you lead us and guide us, prosper us, bless us. You give us health. You give us joy. You give us peace. You have all these good things. Every good and perfect gift which comes down from our Father in heaven. I thank you, Father, that you only have good and perfect gifts for us. Blessing in store for us. Father, and as we endeavor day by day to live by your word and to live by the Spirit, I thank you that we come into this blessed land. I thank you that we walk as citizens of heaven here on earth, that people all around us will see that we're the citizens of heaven, that we're children of the light. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, give me a loud amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.